This is the Sustainability Commission meeting, Tuesday, May 11th at 7 p.m. I'll do the roll call. Lisa Gillis.
Here.
Eric Simon. Beth Chang.
Here.
Carrie McLean.
Here.
Susan Charette.
Here.
Shannon Roberts.
Here.
Lauren Behan. Ellie Raitt. Charlotte Meyer.
Here.
Luke Gilfillan.
Here.
Charles Rogier.
Here.
Okay, so we have any public comment?
Catherine, you're on. Would you like to make public comment?
I don't have anything to add right now, but yeah.
Well, I'll did a great job with the with our reduce River First reduces waste guide that came from Catherine as part of Lauren's committee. So I thought that was pretty very cool and is now up on our website and on social media channels. So, high five.
Also your video on Flip.
Flipgrid. Yep. I will talk more about Flipgrid in a minute. I'll channel my best Lauren when we talk, unless you want to. Do you want to? All right. So that's it for public comment. Adoption of the minutes. Beth, being so very better today, has already provided some feedback on those minutes. So thank you very much, Beth. Does anybody else have feedback?
Yeah, I can just say for the record that I just corrected a couple things in the two reports that I made. One was clarifying what the Green for Good parents did to remain active. And the second was just fixing something in the communication plan part. And I sent those tiny wording changes to John. So is that sufficient without me actually reading every word change out?
Right. They were mostly typos and some misinterpretations I had in the minute. So I'll include those in the final draft.
Do you want me to share my screen? Does anybody want to read them?
Oh yeah, I guess you could do it that way. It always seems tedious trying to verbally explain the changes.
Does anybody want, do you want me to put them up there?
I was going to say, if we're going to vote on them, we probably should see them.
Yeah, okay. Hold on 1 second. I am getting them. Oh, there it is. Can you see? That's changes.
Yeah, it's just the stuff in red.
Isn't Green for Good usually written like green with a four?
Actually, you are right, Susan. So it's actually like green and then the number four in good, and it's all kind of smooshed together. So
right.
Thanks.
All right, hold on. John, I'm going to send you another update once we're done here.
Okay.
Okay, anything else?
Does anyone want to make a motion to approve
that? I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. I'll do the vote on that. Lisa Gillis. this is a vote for the minute approval. Oh, did you? I just didn't hear you. Beth Chang?
Yes.
Carrie McLean?
Yes.
Susan Charette?
Yes.
Shannon Roberts?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passed.
Okay. Okay, the next thing is commissioner reports. Anybody want to go first?
I don't really have a report on any intervening meetings. I'll be on the agenda later.
Okay. I can go, and I'm going to represent Eric first. So he and I did connect because, again, he realized today he was away, and then he realized that he just had more things to do than time, so he could not join us. But he is trying to push forward community solar. And he was not having success with Mark Pruitt, who was the consultant. So he has reached out to Edith, who is the one of the kind of primary members of the mayor's caucus. And so she will help us get this moving. Ideally, we can complete all the requirements such that we can put it in front of the village board of trustees at the next village meeting. Because in order to offer the community solar, we still need to do certain things and have it approved by the village board. So we'll see if we can make that happen. If not next month, the month after. He's very positive about that now that he is connecting with Edith. He's also still working with Maggie on green transportation. They've engaged with Trinity and others to get it on the radar. And we're trying to work with them to kind of map their plan. And he's also attending a lot of Mayor's Caucus meetings on green transportation, as well as on community solar. So he's kind of pushing forward on both those fronts. And John, I don't know if you have, he said you might be able to give an update on chargers and if that grant has come through and what the status is on that.
I'm still waiting on any information on that. I don't have any information. I believe we were told that in June we would know either way if we were to get that ComEd grant. But as of right now, I don't have any information on that.
Okay. And then I can just do mine. I did attend the Mayor's Caucus meeting on climate change. It was specifically focused on communication about climate change to residents. And given our meeting last go around, really speaking to a lot of the stuff that Beth was talking about, I thought it was very, very the timing was kind of fortunate. There were three speakers, Jennifer Marlin, who is from Yale University, and Yale University has mapped out the United States and what they call the Yale Climate Change Opinion Maps, which helps to kind of identify where everybody's heads at across the US with regard to climate change. Not surprisingly, for example, they see folks very interested in climate change and wanting to take action around college towns, which tend to be more liberal than other parts of the US. That was interesting. Then there was a person from Echo America, and we ended on with someone from NOAA who talked about specific action for climate empowerment. I can send, John, I will send you the URL. If you go to the Mayor's Caucus website, all of their meetings are videotaped and the agenda's there and all kinds of great information. I did pass that on to Beth for her focus, for her communications plan. And I thought it like Beth, I'm sure we'll hear about what you thought about it. And then last but not least, I did upload my video to Flipgrid. I should say my husband's video to Flipgrid. It's, God knows I don't want to be, in those kinds of things. So we're going to keep Flipgrid open so that anybody who wants to, add more videos can certainly do that. That's not something that Lauren, had suggested we do, and I think it's a really good idea. So we'll try to figure out a way to maybe highlight that in future communications from the village. Right now it is on the website, along with that great video that Charlotte and Charles did. Assuming, no, Charlotte and Luke, you did it, sorry. I didn't mean, I'm getting my teams messed up. So that was really, really great. And we'll see if we can kind of continue to maybe, you know, kind of build some momentum on that.
What was the video that you uploaded to the Flipgrid?
It was a video of my husband demonstrating how he composts from kitchen to our backyard composting
bin. System. Oh, it's more than a bin. It's a system.
Yes, it's got three different sections. So we start in one section and then we move on.
You know, I uploaded one with my grandson. I haven't been on the website to see if it was got on there, but it looked like it went through.
I watched it. Carrie, it did get on. It was very
good. Okay, yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
We're all great. And this could be a way for us to highlight some of our programs too, you know, if the plan is to leave it up. Like, yeah, there could be a picture of somebody doing the tree trails. And
mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Especially as it builds up.
Are you done, Lisa?
I am done, thank you.
Okay, Ellie or Charles, do either one of you want to talk about Veg Out?
We are getting closer to having a kind of final product, and we've been collecting more restaurants. I've emailed with the person who is bringing in the new Yolk restaurant in Oak Park and River Forest, and they're interested, and we're just kind of building on what we already have.
Mm-hmm. We, Bertoli's did come through, and Dave Hammond, who writes for the Wednesday Journal and Oak Park Eats and a whole bunch of places, he was my neighbor in Oak Park. So he's doing a story on this.
Oh, wow.
And I think, I don't know if he contacted you or Charles, Ellie, but, or if he'll just take from that op-ed that you wrote. And so I don't know when that'll come out, hopefully soon. The restaurants seem to be enthused about it. They're either very enthused about it or they have no idea what it all means. So it's taking a little bit of education and calling them, but I'm also gonna probably press the village or you, Lisa, or whoever our next chair is, to see if we can do an ad in the journal highlighting who our restaurants are, and really try to find out how. Charles made a very good point when we spoke the last time, is to really, you know, highlight the restaurants that are involved and try to make it beneficial for them. And that will dovetail nicely with really making it a community awareness program to just really eat more vegetables. It's just a simple message. So probably gonna push the village of River Forest out of its comfort zone to see how we can do that more, but that will be in the future. But otherwise, I think it's pretty good. We have about, I don't know, 14 or 15 restaurants, and they all seem to be, you know, really on board, the ones that are on there and enthusiastic. So I think that's all a good thing.
Yeah, and Sarah, just, you know, I talked to Sarah yesterday briefly, and they are putting something tomorrow on social media. And then I did let her know that we've got to figure out some way to, you know, kind of support it. And I know there's a lot of other conflicting things. And again, I push forward, you know, perhaps we need a separate River Forest Sustainability Commission, like channel for Instagram and for Facebook, so that we can, you know, potentially have a larger share of voice. We don't want to take away from the rest of the village. There is the marketing communications team that is, you know, I guess working through all that. So, you know, we'll continue to kind of, you know, voice, you know, that perspective. And Sarah and Jonathan Pape are very aware of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be very exciting to see it roll out. It's such a great combination of, I think it's a brilliant combination of, you know, our goals plus bringing in local businesses. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I think it is really good. And Ellie and Charles, they've been great. And they've reined me in some, and I appreciate them for that. So, and they bring a lot of good insight also. I really have appreciated working with them. So they're really great. So. So that's all with that.
I can go next if nobody else wants to go next. So let's see, the two main things that I've been working on is the National Wildlife Federation's community habitat that David, the resident volunteer David Hoyt, met with us in March to discuss. And we've been registered as of March 23rd, and we're halfway. There's point systems and everything, so we're halfway to our registration points. And we're looking towards hopefully having the village like officially embrace this, the village trustees, towards the end of June. And then we need like a proclamation is one of the things we need as part of our registration, and a public announcement, that kind of stuff. So David has been working with Roosevelt School and also the Forest Park headquarters on Harlem and Lake to get them registered. I should say at this point, we have 9 residences, 2 schools, and 1 common area. One feature of this program, which is not great, is they won't tell us who these are. So like, you know, we don't know. Well, we know 2 of the residents are David and myself, but we don't know who the other ones are. We're not sure who the schools are, and we don't know what the common area is. But he's working with Corey Cadillac at Roosevelt, and he's going to be upgrading some of their gardens there and trying to make it into a community habitat so that Roosevelt will register. Hopefully they're not one of the ones that are already registered. And looking at it sort of as a pilot program that then we can take to the other D9D and hopefully some of the private schools too and get as many of those registered. We're also working on a part of this plan is we need like a 1, 3, and 5 year plan and so all this kind of stuff. So that's rolling along. And then John and I very enthusiastically have been working on the ARBNET to go up to the second level. And I spoke to the director at ARBNET, Sue Paste, and when she looked through our application for level 1, we're actually really close. We have to come up with 10 more species of trees or shrubs. Hopefully it would be on village grounds, but since we have registered the entire village, we could include plantings at Roosevelt School, we could include Park District, we could even include Forest Preserve. So we'll see how we get there. And then the other component is we need to up our educational. And when I told her about Ellie's tree trails, she said that would be plenty. So Ellie, you are helping us to achieve level 2 recognition. And, you know, John brought up a very good point in a conversation we had, like, why is this an important thing to go after? And I think there's a number of reasons. One is that ARBNET is celebrating 10 years as the program of the Morton Arboretum. They're celebrating 10 years today. And when they started out, they thought they were just going to be dealing with little arboretums across, you know, actually across the world. It's a world program. But we're surprised when universities and even cemeteries and villages, Oak Park, Riverside, and River Forest are all municipal arboretum. They were kind of surprised, and that's why some of the criteria are really hard. Like to go from 2 to level 2 to 3, you need to have 500 species. But they're meeting and talking about this now that they know that the people that are going after this are not, you know, like Chicago Botanic Gardens and stuff, that maybe they'll make that some realistic. But at this point, they have 450 worldwide arboretum registered, and of those, 238 are level 1 like us, 132 are level 2, and then when it goes to 3, 4, it breaks down to 34 and 30. So by far, most are level 1 and 2. And one benefit of being in this program, which John hopefully just got the email today about, is next year is the 100-year anniversary of Morton Arboretum. And so they're doing something called a centennial tree planting program and are offering the arboretums in ARBNET. On the form, they said up to 20 trees, but in my personal conversation with the director, she said 40, 50 would be possible. So the village stands to possibly get, and these are big trees, these are 15-gallon, roots are in 15-gallon tubs, trees to be planted throughout the village. So that's pretty cool. So those are the things that are growing. The things that are dying are parkways for pollinator and the edible gardens, because we received notice from David Murphy that he will be leaving Deep Roots. And, you know, as far as I know, he is, you know, he is the one employee who does all of this. So at this point, he doesn't think he'll be able to maintain our 54 gardens. I was hoping that he would at least be able to mulch the 20 gardens from last year, but he can't commit to that because he's leaving very shortly. So, you know, we have to think that through. So some things growing, some things dying out. Oh, and then the last thing I just wanted to announce, this was West Cook Wild Ones has nature grants that they give out every year, and I just glanced through them to see what was in River Forest. And Keystone Montessori School received, I think it's like a $500 grant, to replace existing raised bed with native plants, a pathway, and other garden amenities. So that's nice. That'll be going into River Forest as well. And the Wayback Inn in Maywood also received one of these grants. And that's it.
So Susan, is Deep Roots as an organization, once David leaves, it's not going to have like any, you know, continuation?
Maybe. So it's a little bit up in the air. Okay. Deep Roots has a couple of different parts to it. I mean, one are the sales that they make of, you know, soil and different products. One is their educational arm, and and then, you know, the work that David does. So at this point, it looks like they want to expand into a national organization and set up sort of, you know, like replica Deep Roots throughout the country. And I think one of the reasons David is leaving is because of a different, sort of a different vision than the other board members. And so I would say that that's very unclear. He doesn't know for sure that he will be replaced, and that the particular services that he is doing will be.
So from our perspective, it seems like maybe we should give some thought to whether, at least for this season, if we can obtain comparable services from somebody else, right? I feel like the people who put the pollinator gardens in, I you would know better than me exactly what we promised them, but if there was a certain amount of upkeep for a certain number of years, you know, I hate for it to just, like, we could sunset the program and say, look, this was a thing, it got started, we have this, but I wouldn't want to just abruptly pull the rug out from anybody who was expecting, like, at least a year of maintenance.
Yeah.
And the village was paying Deep Roots, and so, you know, we just had to find some other landscaper type person to do it, I would think.
Yeah, or some composting. So, you know, that's something that I can look into. But I think the gardens that were, you know, planted 3 years ago are kind of on their own. I walked by one on Thatcher near my house, and it looked like it had been mulched. So I have to reach out. I know the person who lives there. It looked like something that Deep Roots had a very Deep Roots look to it. And so I have to reach out and see, you know, how this thing got mulched. But it looked all, you know, tended and weeded and mulched. So, but yeah, that's something to look forward to. But in terms of planting additional gardens, here it does. And we also had not secured funding at this point either. So on a number of fronts, it looks like that's just not going to happen. So, you know, maybe this National Wildlife Federation can substitute that in some way. Wait, Charlotte's saying something. Say it. I've got one. I think ours got mulched 2 years ago. Yeah, that sounds right. How does yours look, Charlotte? Is it in good shape?
It's in all right shape. I think one of the plants died last year, mm-hmm. but the rest of them are doing good.
That's good.
So we can see, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to see if we can find somebody that could be, I mean, we have a list of all of 55. I don't think, to your point, Susan, we need to do all 55. And I'm not quite sure what the expectation is. I was surprised actually when I took over the program from Sugi that we were actually mulching the second year. Because I don't think that's anywhere in any of the materials.
Yeah. And I mean, also the program would blow up. I mean, if we were planting 20 gardens every year, at some point it just would have been untenable. But I think it would be nice to somehow get to the 20 from last year. And I was at one of the plantings and the soil was absolutely terrible. So I'll keep working on that.
You think David does anything?
I can ask him.
I mean, he's staying in the area, so he'll be here. He just has a new gig working at a meditation center.
Oh, nice.
On Harrison Street. So
on what street?
On Harrison, the Kadampa Meditation Center. The headquarters is on Harrison Street in Oak Park. So it's at, you know, he's so he does a lot of meditation. So I think he was kind of a part-time teacher there. So I think now he's just full-time. But maybe he knows somebody that can help. I know that he does. I know based on conversations that you and I have had, he doesn't think that the folks that are left at Deep Roots, they weren't doing a lot of that heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. So they probably aren't the right ones.
Yeah. No, I could ask him if he has a recommendation for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, because it would be good to maybe to your
point. I mean, I suppose we could reach out to one of the like natural landscapers or something. But idea was Public Works. I don't know if John wants to weigh in on that one.
That would be no, thank you. Yeah.
Well, does Public Works have somebody that they contract to for weeding and mulching? If necessary.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, so we use the yard crew right now as a landscaper to do mowing of certain areas and landscaping of certain areas. So
are they the ones that take care of the bioswales?
That is a different landscaper. That's Pizzo.
Gizzo?
Pizzo, P-I-Z-Z-O.
Okay.
So that's another one.
Could we get a quote for them about composting 20 gardens? 24 by 10 gardens?
Sure. If you want to just send me the information, I can I can get a quote from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have you obviously have the addresses. So if we can get the name, if we can just maybe to your point, do it one more time and then wrap that up.
Yeah.
And we did, so, I mean, again, like the natural life cycle of these project of the programs, again, this is per Sue and Julie and Katie, is like 3 years. So I mean, we separated it from the Green Block Parties last year. And Tree Trails has taken over. And by the way, Block Parties are back.
Huh.
Woohoo!
Okay. With certain, like, put it this way, if we can, I guess we're now, and I'm not totally up on the COVID phases, but like there's certain requirements. I think with phase 4, which is where we are now, you can have no more than 50 people, you have to mask, you have to have social distancing, no you know, bouncy houses and things like that, but they will do sorted out stations and things like that. And then as we move, there's a bridge from 4 to 5, and once you get to 5, so as the state goes to the, you know, different requirements and different the COVID rules, we will too. So I guess I don't know if you saw it in the Wednesday Journal, Oak Park had Oak Park also is doing Black Parties, but they're not doing anything that's green, and they're not allowing the village employees to visit. So we are the same, like, we're doing sorted out stations, but like you can't have the police and fire come to your block party and that kind of thing. So I'm sure there'll be more information on the updated website. So I'm sure a lot of residents will be really, really happy. So we do have to try to update and connect kind of Tree Trails to block parties as a, you know, potential activity, which I think we're already planning to do. So that would be, yeah, that's a perfect thing to do in a, you know, if we have to have a block party and be socially distant with no more than 50 people, at least at this point. But I think at phase 5 or the bridge to phase 5, it goes up to 100 and that kind of thing. So all good. Hey, Shannon, do you want to speak a little bit with your, you know, second in command?
I don't really have a lot to add, I guess, this month. Still plugging away at the metrics, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I know that the good news is you have that connection to, direct connection now to ComEd, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Green next week to understand how they did transportation. Because I'm struggling replicating it right now. Mm-hmm. And if we understand that, we can and extrapolate it out and things like that moving forward. So, and or determine if we need to take a different path. So
I think you were cutting in and out a little bit, Shannon. So just to fill in, I think you were talking about meeting with Gary Kunin next week. We finally heard back from him about answering some questions for Shannon about how some of that data was collected.
Shannon, are the metrics on the Google Drive anywhere? No. Beth, you're going to have to translate again.
Oh, I think she just shook her head to say no, they're not. they're in a spreadsheet. So I think Shannon's just waiting till they're final, but if there's something in particular you wanted to see, I'm sure she can share it.
Yeah. No, I just wondered if I had sent an email. I wondered if the Dominican wrecks were included that we got from Planet Green. I think it was like 1,200, whatever the metric is.
That's news to me.
What is that? I don't think any of us know that.
I'm sorry, Sue. Is that something you sent to me and that I forgot to follow up on?
So,
sorry.
When I reported this, I think, I don't know if I shared them, but so when Planet Green decided not to do the report this year because of COVID, they sent out like just a little sheet. And on it, it had wrecks. And in addition to the, whatever it was, 25,000 for the Village of River Forest from our aggregation, they had another, I don't remember what the number, but it was more like scale of like 1,200 from Dominican, which must also be purchasing wrecks. But since their numbers, I think, are going into our electricity numbers, then I think it's valid for us to use their wrecks to offset them.
Yeah, we would think that it's included. We get a comment. Total sheet. So yeah, that makes sense. And
okay, I'll resend that to you, Shannon, and Beth has it as well.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Any other commissioner reports? Yes, do you have anything else to report? Okay, so why don't we move into River Forest Tree Trails version 2.0. That was my ad to try to add some excitement.
Okay, sorry. Before we get into 2.0, just like a quick announcement about the original Tree Trails. We want to relaunch it at the end of this summer/early fall because we think that's when the bulk of the participants would be, because we have block parties at the end of the summer, and then early fall is probably when schools would want to participate. And as far as I know, we're doing the composting prize again.
Yeah, and I would just say that when we talked about that, I talked with Ellie and Charles about the timing. We felt like we didn't know if block parties were going to start again, but they were more likely to start later in the summer. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember that historically the data shows that most of the block parties are held like in July and August. But now with this information that the block parties are opening up now, I don't know if, you know, what input the commission has on the timing of that. I think the idea with doing it at the end is just for the prize, it's easier or better if you have like a short time period and you're really pushing publicity during a short time period instead of kind of saying sometime over these 3 months, do it, right? But I don't know, Lisa, does your thinking, now that the block parties are they open any time now, John?
Yes.
Anybody can apply now?
Right,
so
right.
Ellie and Charles, I guess the question is if block parties are open now, whether somehow when the permits go out, you know, if people are also sort of pushed a copy of Tree Trails and encouraged in some way to turn it in throughout the summer. I don't know. What do you what do you think, Ellie and Charles? Does that change your thinking knowing the block parties are open now?
Maybe a little bit. I think that we're still going to get the bulk at the end of the summer, but if there are going to be block parties for the whole 3 months, then I think that it doesn't do any harm to open it up sooner.
From what I've seen in the past, just so you know, most of the block parties are actually in the fall. Unless things change this year, but I've seen that in the past, they're usually in the fall.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. Usually it's the end of August. What'll happen is you have all kind of, I guess you have summer, you know, you have kind of, and again, there's COVID's messed up, not messed up everything, but COVID potentially changes everything. But you used to have summer school and then people would go on vacation in August. And when they came back, then they would do block parties on the weekends. And it's interesting because, yeah, that's what would get Deep Roots Project would be ready to go in June and we wouldn't necessarily have anything to do. And then of course, between the last weekend, in August, through October, it was we were doing six gardens a weekend because there was just that, that's when all the block parties were. So COVID could change that. Right now, again, keep in mind that people are, they're limited right now to 50 people. So they might want to wait to see if it kind of increases. I think you also might have a lot of people wanting to wait until their teens are vaccinated. So,
Okay. So it sounds like it makes sense to stick with that late summer rollout. And I think the other reason we came to that was just that we do have a lot of these other great things going on. The veg out is about to roll out and all that. So we don't want to compete with ourselves for attention. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you guys submit the op-ed to Wednesday Journal?
For veg out?
Yeah.
I sent it straight to Dave Hammond.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was just curious, how that got submitted. Cool, okay.
Okay, sorry for that little detour. I guess, having talked myself back into waiting until August. So go ahead now with 2.0, Charles and Ellie.
Okay, so first I am working, I'm joining Ellie for 2.0. I guess 2.0, double the amount of people, or double. So for Tree Trails 2.0, which is a temporary name, the goal that we are setting is to reach the recreational standards of the original Tree Trails, but also implement more environmental education, really make sure we focus it on younger students. So our target audience would be students set from second to sixth grade. And we're really going to focus on the idea is to focus on the summer camps run by the park district and possibly through schools if this continues to run into the fall. We also while this is going to be designed with the park district summer camps in mind, we hope to make this still accessible for everyone else to do it if they wish.
Now, do you have a connection to the park district?
No, I suggested that they come and get the commission's sort of input and consensus approval or whatever, so that when they go and talk to somebody at the park district, they have that mm-hmm. behind them. And so one of the things would be who to talk to.
Yeah, the person that we usually talk to, is Mike Sletton. And we can also get you the name of, I can find out who from the board should also be included, because it helps to have, Mike as, kind of plus a board member, just to kind of keep, the communication. I personally think it's a great idea in terms of kind of expanding the program and getting, enhancing our education amongst, a different population. There could be some overlap, but not that much from what I've seen on trees.
A basic description would just be that so all summer long there are summer camps that run through the park district. Some of them are general and others will focus more on nature studies. The general camps, Charles checked this today. Thank you, Charles. They run through mid-August. And we're hoping that 2.0 could be like semi-independent so that the kids could go out and find some destinations with a counselor and fill out a packet or a page just with unique trees in River Forest, like pointing out invasive species, markings of tree diseases, et cetera. But we definitely don't want it to feel like school. So we're gonna try to keep it fun and light. And hopefully we'll be able to have the camp counselors help them out. And really the first thing that we would have to do is get it approved by the district and get it into one of the camp sessions. And then we would get a kind of due date for setting up the final product.
Another possibility would be, if you're going to have a brochure, would be to leave it at Trailside, because they have a little table there that they give out things, so it attracts people who are interested in nature.
Yeah, I like that idea.
They'd be getting the graphic designer that we used last year.
You could also ask the public library, like kids section, if they promote it.
Yeah. I did honestly forget about that, but that's also a good idea. Thank you, Charlotte.
Try Blazer Camp. Trinity does they have actually for like, I don't know what the ages are, but it's all girls. They're Blazer Camp, and they have a sustainability way for them to, you know, kind of help at the school.
Yeah, I used to go to that. It's like first grade to fifth grade, I think. Or maybe even younger than first grade. It might be like 6 to 10.
Where is that, Charlotte?
It's at Trinity High School.
Yeah, they have their summer Blazer Camp, as they call it.
Another person you could reach out to at Park District is Karen Style. I think that's how you say it, who's the superintendent of recreation. I think she oversees all of the camps and might be more open than Executive Director Sletten.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I'm sorry, I think there's a couple different things being discussed here. Are you talking about connecting them with the Park District?
Yeah, this is back to Park District.
So
instead of going to the Executive Director, to go to the Superintendent of Recreation. Who oversees
that?
What?
Who is the superintendent of recreation?
Karen Still. She oversees all of the camps.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, right. Yeah, because she would be like directly involved in the programs.
Yeah, and you might also be able to generate more interest with her.
Uh-huh. So is there someone like, I mean, you guys can just reach out to Karen, but I wonder if it would help Ellie and Charles if...
I'm going to put her contact information in the chat.
Right. But if one of the commissioners is, I mean, I guess if you two are comfortable writing to her, you can include my name if you want. I'm trying to think if I know Karen. I don't think I know Karen, although I think my daughter's working for the Park District Summer Camp. So I feel like I've heard Karen's name. But anyway, just to give you that kind of, you know, official reinforcement, right? Like if somebody knows Karen, wants to provide an introduction, or the two of you could write and copy me and I could sort of, you know.
We do work with Sletten, and that's why I put them up there. I mean, I email him occasionally for Sustainability Commission business. So I could, you know, we can certainly, you know, kind of, I can certainly make introductions and suggest that Karen be the best person for us to reach out to, so we can start with Mike Stokin would be great to speak to. We could include some of the commissioners that we do know, so that it's not a cold call, but that helps. Tell me.
Cheryl Cargi is always very welcoming.
Exactly.
What about if the initial introductory email includes Michael Sledden, Cheryl, and Karen, and sort of says, you know, provides an introduction, says, this is coming out of the commission, you know, it's building on something from before, introducing Ellie and Charles and sort of saying who is the best person for them to work with carrying it forward. And hopefully the answer comes back that it's Karen, because she would be the right person, you know, on more of the nuts and bolts of, can she work it into the schedule? You know, when would she need the finished product? Are there counselors who can be sort of guinea pigs for you, Ellie and Charles, you know, as you're developing it, right? Help you test it.
Yeah. And I would just like send, they had their, like Lynn Libera is the president for the Park District this year. So like the board. So I would send it to Lynn and Cheryl. Lynn is the president. Cheryl's the vice president. Mike is the head, you know, and then Karen. And I know Lynn and Cheryl, so.
So do you feel like that's something you can do? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. And if you want there to be like a continuing commission member contact, if you want to, you know, copy me, I can be that person to continue supporting Ellie and Charles. The other thing I would say about the graphics that we didn't actually talk about, Ellie and Charles, is, you know, if we want to use Nick again, Lisa, you found him last year. He was graduating from Dominican. He kindly volunteered his time to create tree trails, but can we have a little money in the budget to offer to pay him to do, because he did go through like a bunch of iterations, right? And I mean, we could ask him if he would do it as a volunteer thing again, but it would be nice to be able to offer him even sort of a smallish stipend. Or alternatively, I think you said that the village also has a graphic designer who might be available to us as part of the village's contract.
Yeah, there is. The marketing team that they're using does have designers on, you know, on staff that Jonathan and Sarah said we could use. I would want to, though, give Nick right of first refusal, just because I know he's in the area. I mean, he did graduate right now. You know, he's looking for a job. And so he's working at Fresh Time. I saw him on Sunday. So, you know, we can certainly, you know, I can certainly ask if that's something we can do. I don't know what we would think would be a fair stipend, but I think we just have to get that cleared.
Okay. Let's see. We could, I guess we could approach Nick and ask him and say it's a comparable project. Are you willing to do it again pro bono? If not, if it's similar in scope, because Ellie, you remember we went through a bunch of iterations, ask him what he would, I don't know, I suppose I could sort of try to make up something based on my experience, or, you know, if we had a budget in mind, we could sort of say, I don't want to, you know, take up too much of this meeting with like the details and everything, but we could say this is how much we're prepared to offer for it, right? If or we can ask him to make a proposal.
How about $200?
Thanks for coming up with a number, Susan.
I'm trying to look at a reaction. Everybody has these stone faces.
Well, no, I'm just like thinking about it, like, you know, trying to guess how many hours you spent on it and kind of an hourly rate for somebody who's starting out. I mean, you know, it seems like a reasonable-ish number.
250? I mean, a stipend is not exactly an hourly rate. It's just, I mean,
yeah, it's just recognition that he's now a professional, that he did a project for us pro bono, you know.
He's not a student anymore, so.
Right.
Another person, if he's unwilling to do it, Lisa Krasinski, who's the secretary at Roosevelt, her daughter just graduated, her daughter Grace just graduated from Dominican and also has graphic design. So I know she's looking for a job. So if he said no, she could be somebody else. I could get you a contact information.
I mean, I think that ultimately we don't want to go on this. I'll just kind of be the Debbie Downer on this. I don't think we want to start paying for stuff that we can get kind of through donations because our budgets are really, really small.
Well, I do want to. We have $25,000 coming in that are going to get allocated to something.
I know, but again, we've historically kind of had. We've historically done everything we've done through. Through volunteerism, and so I'm happy to give a stipend, but I don't want to, like, if we start doing that, then we aren't necessarily going to always have $30,000, you know, kind of have the $25,000.
Is he a resident of River Forest right now? He still is. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's, I want to be able to the meeting to move on to other things. So why don't we take this discussion offline, and, you know, perhaps I can reach out to him and ask if he will do it pro bono. And if he says I really can't, then we can go from there.
I would start with that just because it's his work. I need to take it away, you know, to take it away.
Okay.
From yeah. Okay. So anything more on River Forest Tree Trails? Extra? I hear we might have a new name looking at the chat.
Ellie Charles, did you get what you needed?
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. Charlotte, is your friend looking for things to build his resume? Is your friend looking for things to build his resume?
I'm not sure. I don't know that much. I just know that he does graphic design sometimes, but I'm not sure like how like good he is at it or anything.
Okay.
There's also a graphic design club at the high school that just does graphic design work for free, if you want to contact them.
Sorry, who just said that?
Me.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, because again, I know that last year Nick did it as a resume builder. He might want to continue to do it as a resume builder. To your point, maybe there's other opportunities. So we have, you know, let's just do some exploration and then we can come back. Beth, do you want to then move into community education and outreach?
Yes. So I'm only going to show two slides tonight, not so many. And mostly I want to talk about the direction I'm thinking of based on all the feedback last time, which was really interesting and very helpful. And I guess my big takeaways from it were that that we wanted to simplify, but we also wanted to sort of give residents sort of simpler actions to focus on. That's kind of what I got from it. But I also got from the conversation that we really have two audiences. And here, let me see. Is everyone seeing my screen?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so, all right. So there, I think there's one set of communications that's to the village board and then another set of communications to residents. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that I had in last time, you know, can fit in with, I know Lisa, you were also working on a presentation to the board, but all that kind of more formal contextual stuff, like, you know, the village has made a commitment to, you know, the Chicago Climate Charter and to Planet Green and to all of these things in the context. And we've done this big inventory and here's our progress to date. And we're at 25% reduction and energy is the biggest driver. You know, that kind of presentation, I ended up feeling like, oh, that's what the board needs to hear, right? Because they made the commitments. And so they need to hear about progress and where the biggest opportunity is to make impact, which is energy. And then I do feel like this kind of green living idea that Shannon mentioned is also important to convey to the board, that all of these programs we have give residents a menu of options to engage in green living and have a personal impact on emissions, even if it's not a really huge impact, like percentage wise. And then for the communication to residents, I actually started thinking about flipping it around in terms of emphasis, right? I mean, I still don't know exactly what this looks like, but if it were, say, like a flyer, you know, you could have on the front side or on the two-thirds of it, a menu of the green living options. And Lauren's not here tonight, but I know she was talking about kind of trying to make things like fun to catch people's attention. So I feel like that's what you lead with. And the concept I came up with was this idea of share your River Forest green stories, which actually fits in with the conversation we were having earlier about like the Flipgrid, you know, the sharing of the videos. And once, you know, Veg Out gets going, Carrie, I think I mentioned, I thought it'd be really cool if people wanted to, you know, somehow share like, hey, this week I got thus and such a dish from, you know, Buzz Cafe or whatever. And so we want to encourage residents to share their stories of green living activities. They might be commission programs or they might be something else, right? And they could be things that worked and they could be things that didn't work as well. And the goal would be to create this sense of fun and community momentum. So if you have like the main message is about here's a menu of things you can choose from. You want to compost, you want to veg out, you want to take a do the tree trail, you want to put up a video about waste. And we could have as a commission sort of like an overall goal that we want a certain percentage of our residents to engage in at least one green living activity, you know, something like that. And then you could have either as a sidebar or on the backside, this other message about making a difference on emissions. And here, what I heard from, you know, I think a couple of the student commissioners, Charlotte and maybe Charles or Luke, I don't remember who, said, well, it'd be a lot easier if you just focused on community solar as like the thing to do. And as soon as that comes online, I agree, that's like a simple message. But if we want to couch it a little more broadly than that, we would say that if you really want to make a big difference on emissions, focus on energy. And you can do that either by reducing your usage or by going for green energy sources. And, you know, the usage, there's a lot of things around LEDs and, you know, turn your thermostat up. Those are more like traditional strategies. The sources, I think the two messages we need to give people are, if you are in the green aggregation program, you need to stay in it because that's what's giving the village the recs, and that's what's providing like the funding for these other programs. If you're not in green aggregation, and of course we're gonna have to answer a lot of questions for people about whether they are or aren't, but then you should try solar, and we can push the community solar when it's available, or rooftop if you can. And this actually, thank you, Susan, for kind of, you know, boiling down the energy stuff and saying, look, this is really what you can focus on in terms of green energy. And we could actually even simplify the message further by just saying, we're gonna focus on green energy sources. And yes, there are strategies for reducing green or reducing energy usage, but maybe we just like leave that out of it. Like I'm almost envisioning, like I said, this like a poster type thing where you've got all this cool menu of choices. And then on a sidebar in some kind of fun graphic way, you just kind of get across the basics of like, okay, these are the village's emissions. You know, we're going for a 35% reduction by 2030. You know, energy is whatever it is, like 30% of our emissions. And the single thing that you can do for energy is if you're not in green aggregation, sign up for community solar. You know, it could even be that targeted. So I would love to hear what people think, whether which parts of this seem like they're heading in the right direction before getting more into, you know, trying to design something visually interesting.
I like the simplicity of it, but I just have a couple of comments. Like, let's see. So first on the if you're in green aggregation, stay in it. You know, as I was laying out in the comments that I gave you, mm-hmm. up, it's kind of greener. So I know it's a more subtle message to say, you know, I guess I'd say something more like, you know, if green aggregation is working for you and, you know, that's what you want to do right now, but if you're willing to do more, consider community solar because it is greener.
Yes. And I,
instead of saying like, okay, green aggregation, like that's good enough, stay in it, more like, you know, like if that's working for you, then great. That's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm.
you know, community solar is greener and, you know, rooftop is a little greener still because there's less transportation.
So shades of green.
So
yeah,
I know that's a really nuanced story. So those are always the hardest stories.
Yeah. And I don't think you would ever be so blunt as to just say, stay in it. Right. But
okay.
I was, the reason that I was thinking that is because John or somebody, Eric's not here tonight, but correct me if I'm wrong, the way that MC Squared works is they've selected the whatever households that makes sense for them to serve so that they can still provide this kind of service and the dollars back to the village. And I agree, the whole thing is a little bit weird. You know, it's a cherry sort of cherry picked kind of thing, but if too many people opt out, I believe that that would change their math, so to speak. And that the village, you know, would end up, if it's just like a few people at the margins, I don't think it makes much difference, right? But if en masse, like half of the people who they offer the aggregation to move out of it, John, wouldn't that affect the dollars that the village gets back?
Yes, I think that's right. I think, you know, if half of the people drop out, it would certainly impact the money coming in.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that we shouldn't do it, and that's a discussion we can have, right? But if we're looking, I don't know, those recs versus getting the actual green community solar, maybe I'd want to better understand in what way that's greener. And it's just, it's really complicated to explain that whole aggregation thing to people, right?
Well, the reason it's greener is because, well, we still haven't got a definitive answer on this, but it's because the recs are actually going into Illinois as opposed to just the Midwest. So, and whenever, you know, whenever something is more local, there's less transportation. And, well, actually, that's not really true, right? But I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's a, you know.
The consensus, you know, this kind of came up at Planet Green too, and the consensus is that it is greener. And, you know, we can work on that story. But the other thing, so, but my other comment is that I think one of the reasons that we're so focused on energy is because it's not only that it makes the biggest difference, but it's the most measurable. So like one statistic I heard recently was that 84% of greenhouse emissions can be traced back to animal, consumption of animal products. If you add in the deforestation for agricultural grounds and then, you know, all of the emissions, including methane, which is far more detrimental to the environment. So the thing about that is it's hard to measure. So that's why we're not focused on it. If we could somehow, you know, if our metrics had improved and we could somehow have a measure of every household's contribution to the climate crisis, then we might have different things. So I think we have to be careful in our messaging that just because something's measurable doesn't mean that you're not making a huge contribution by moving over to a plant-based diet, which is something that it just, from everything that I've read in sustainability, is an essential element of solving this whole thing. Like just having us all switch to solar and not reduce in any way what we consume is not going to reverse the climate crisis.
Well, I think that that's why the menu of green living options remains important, right? Like we have the greenhouse gas emission inventory, which is like as scientific as we can make it, but you're right, the current inventory doesn't say attempt to inventory the emissions that the village is responsible for based on the percentage of meat that our residents eat, right? And so we don't have something like if we are going to do more veg out, and we're gonna, you know, cut that down. We don't have something to measure that against. And also it's the drop in a bucket problem that I talked about last time, right? Is that we don't want to discourage people from doing things by making it seem like, well, if I have like, you know, two vegetarian meals a month or something, my impact on that village-wide greenhouse gas emission inventory from an absolute point of view is just not that much, right? But it's still really important to do because of the change in attitudes and awareness and all that. So I guess what I'm going for in the messaging is both of those things, the green living and the biggest driver that we know of based on the metrics that we have, you know, is energy. And the idea is, like I said, for the village board, I feel like we've said all of this stuff about the emissions, and so that's kind of the formal focus. But for residents, what's easy and fun for residents is, hey, let me go and get a vegetarian dinner like next Wednesday and see what my neighbors did, and or let me do tree trails with my block, right? That's the stuff that's easily accessible to more residents. It's more approachable. So you start with that, but then you have the sidebar or the back page or whatever to start educating people about emissions, and you pick one thing for them to do and the community solar, since it sounds like it's going to become available sometime this year, is the easiest new thing to talk about.
I mean, wouldn't it be great to get the community involved to do just something like, what did you do for Mother Earth today? And to have that three-year-old turn the water off while they're brushing the teeth and you take a video of it and upload. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, part of this is we have so much information here that is so valuable, but it is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even, you know, parse it all out hardly. But, you know, I mean, simpler the better. And if somebody puts solar on the roof and they take a video of it, that's great. But it's these small little things of just getting it in people's head is feeling more meaningful now, I think. Slowly changing how people react on what they do. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why I, you know, this idea of share your river forest green stories, right? And I think if we agree on that as approach, then the next time we can talk about the channel for doing that, like, is it Flipgrid? Is it Instagram? Is it like, what is it? I mean, I personally told Lauren that I was technically challenged by the Flipgrid thing. So I think we want it to be as easy as possible for people, but maybe you give them more, you know, people who want to do Flipgrid can do it that way. You know, we had sort of like a hashtag River Forest Tree Trails thing for Instagram, but it could be a more general thing like hashtag RF Green Stories, right? And people could do it in different ways according to what they're comfortable with. Or if people like to actually write instead of be on video, we could collect them that way. But the concept is share your green stories. And by giving people or encouraging them to share their stories, you're indirectly encouraging them to do something so they have a story to share, or you're celebrating something that they're already doing, right? And that, so we don't all feel so alone in it, right? It's like, oh yeah, so-and-so's doing that too. Or if someone shares a story and says, hey, I tried to compost, or I tried to do this and it really didn't work for me, and here's what made it work for me, or really it's just not working for me at all. And maybe eventually, you know, somebody would be like, well, I can help that person. And you build this sort of network of, because the whole thing is all about changing attitudes and changing lifestyles, right? Mm-hmm. So.
And maybe even like sharing products, like Catherine Rader's mother did one, and she was talking about using, instead of using a bottle of, like a plastic bottle of laundry detergent, she uses another product. And I think it would have been great to like share what that product is, because that part's confusing as we, you know, sort of relearn all of our habits.
Oh, sorry. Is that you, Shannon? We can't hear you.
No, that's me.
Oh.
All right, can you hear me now?
Now we can.
Okay, now I was gonna say, what happened to potentially including some sort of personal greenhouse gas emission
calculator?
You know that the EPA has one, and then I know like the Nature Conservancy has one.
Yeah, I can add that back in. I was busily stripping things out, but that could be like, if this was a two-sided thing, you know, the menu fun stuff could be on one side, and the side that focuses on emissions, you know, I could easily see having like a little, you know, box that says, check out your personal emissions calculator.
I think also maybe adding to like, this is from earlier, but like the vegetarian stuff, like maybe like on the side that's focused on emissions, we can kind of say, because from what I'd be wrong, but I think that it, like we were saying, like it's kind of easy to sign up for community solar once you like know how to do it. You just have to like fill out some forms. So we can say like, if you want to do something like quick and easy to reduce your emissions, you can sign up for community solar. But if you want to do something bigger, you can look into like a plant-based lifestyle.
Hmm. That's a good idea. So kind of sorting out the options based on what's quick and easy and what's bigger and more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Liked a lot.
Okay, I'm just writing some notes down.
And maybe actually you start with like green living, and then you say like, again, you know, to kind of make the biggest impact the fastest is community aggregation or community support. But then the, you know, again, that's a quick big, but then the longer term big is then the plant-based lifestyle. So it's like a 3-stage thing, which still is pretty easy to understand.
Okay.
Community solar thing, because I do think that the people that are doing community aggregation, by definition, they are not as tuned into their energy consumption.
I don't necessarily think that's true, though. People were chosen for aggregation without their knowledge or participation.
But that's based on the fact of how much they're actually spending on their... Like, so for example, I do not qualify because my husband, we have a smart meter, you know, we basically have the app and we only run our dishwasher at night. And, you know, and we, our electric car is charged at night and we play the, you know, kind of, you know, we specifically don't, so we're more engaged in and understand our consumption patterns and are trying to save money. Whereas I think other people, and again, to each his own, they don't do that. So I guess it's a big assumption on my part, but a lot of people that are not part of it, like for example, Katie Brennan's also another person that's not part of it because she does what we do in terms of.
Oh, I see. You mean some people are not in it because they're pursuing a more active strategy with energy.
Correct. And if you're pursuing a more active strategy, again, this is a hypothesis that can be totally incorrect, so we can throw it out. But if you're already actively engaged, you would then, I think, take the next step if you were for green to say, then I will buy solar because I'm already actively engaged in how I'm consuming energy.
Yeah. All right. Well, so the whole energy thing is just, no matter how you try to simplify it, it's complicated. So we would need to work on it more, right? But I guess the question is, if this... Is there sort of a consensus that this general approach seems like the right direction? Because then I'm just going to kind of keep up coming back to you with further refinements, and then we'll get into those details.
Well, Beth, I think that's a good argument for why doing it by how easy it is may be a good way to organize it. Because, you know, that then you're sort of dividing people on how much effort they want to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit less of a qualitative, you know, evaluation of, you know, is hourly pricing greener than community aggregation? You know, it's like, we just want people to do something. So,
it also takes it away from the sort of like, the pressure to sort of say which thing has the biggest impact on emissions reduction.
Right, because I think it's arguable. And I mean, by far the best thing to do is to use almost no energy. Because even, you know, if you have rooftop solar, if you're using very little energy, then on net, you're putting energy into the system. So that is greener than saying, you know, I'm going to throw up some solar panels and continue to live a very wasteful life. And also, you know, getting back to the change in habits, we all have to change, and it's going to take some people longer than others. So, you know, just I don't know. I just like the separating it by ease, and I think people are most responsive when you give them a lot of choices, because I live in a household of one, so of course it's easier for me to keep my energy down than, you know, someone who lives in a household with 6 people. So what's easy for you? What's the biggest impact given your household and your schedule and what you're willing to do?
Right. And some people like plants and some people don't, and you know, that sort of thing.
Like
so,
trees and some people don't.
but I did want to make sure though that this approach everybody is on board with, because it is different emphasis and message than what we've said in the strategic plan about, you know, everything needs to ladder up and we have to demonstrate, you know, progress towards it. And that's important too, but I think we're just saying that the leading message to draw more and more residents in is a softer one, right? And that's why I said it would be kind of cool. We don't have a baseline, but we could in a year or something take a survey and find out what percentage of our residents are engaged in one green living activity, 2 to 3, or, you know, 5 or more, or I don't know, some sort of measurement to say how involved is our village as a whole in sort of green living.
Mm-hmm. And just to bring attention, Charlotte Meyer just did something in chat.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, didn't see it.
I think we need to, we also need to make sure we don't overwhelm people, which might be tricky given how much we want to tell them. And that's, I think, getting to your point. It's like, how do we do this? How do we walk people in?
Right. So Charlotte, you know, I know you said last time that you thought it should just be really simple and almost just say, hey, everybody sign up for community solar. And we could do that, but I guess I feel like we have all of these other cool things going, right? And we're competing with ourselves for attention. So I thought if we put them all in one menu type thing, then, you know, we can continue to give visibility to all the great things that are being done. But Charlotte, do you have like any kind of input or feedback on how to make it less overwhelming? Does this sound overwhelming to you?
Oh, sorry, I had to turn off my video's Wi-Fi. But yeah, honestly, I'm not sure because I'm like conflicted because I partially still agree with what I said last time that I think like we need to make it simple so that like more people will do it and like not get overwhelmed. But on the other hand, like hearing what we've been saying this time about how like all these great programs we have and like what Susan was saying about how like the best thing we can do is like a plant-based lifestyle, I'm now kind of conflicted on like how we can like do both. I still kind of feel like if we just like maybe if we had like a list of things and we said like, oh, like try to choose one thing from this list to start with or mm-hmm. something like that, that mm-hmm. might be a way to keep people from getting overwhelmed maybe.
Yeah, for sure. The idea behind the menu, I think, is choose one thing. It's not do all these things, right? Which is what I kind of feel like we're telling people now, right? We're just bombarding them. We're like, you know, this month we got tree trails and now we got veg out and, you know, upload your video about, you know, and I couldn't keep up with all the things during Earth Week, right? Go to the bike fest, which wasn't really, or the bike exchange, which wasn't organized by the commission, but it was a green activity going on in the village, right? And yeah, so definitely I think you need to make sure people don't feel overwhelmed in the sense of like we're creating some kind of pressure that you need to do all these things. The idea is we're giving you options. If you want to start, you know, living more green, here are things you can choose from to do. Does that make it seem less overwhelming?
Yeah, and maybe even like each part of the menu could like have like a little, like this might be a bit ambitious, but maybe each like thing on the menu we have could be also have like a hyperlink to just like a little guide on like how to do each thing to like go into more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, I think you've hit on something though. I think we do need to have like one voice here, you know, some kind of a umbrella campaign mm-hmm. that we can all, that the residents see as one voice and just like, you know, different aspects of that voice. I think that's an important thing.
Maybe this is too much, is that if you ladder it up to like, we have kind of our strategies, which are basically energy, transportation, you know, kind of waste, water, and green ecosystems. So could you do something in each of those?
Maybe.
Because like, for example, transportation, right? Take, you know, ride your bike rather, you know, or walk rather than take the car, you know, is an easy one, or, you know, and that could be easy one. Set like a more complex one might be, or like in that same thing is, you know, buy a, electric car. I'm making that up. And then energy, to your point,
it's, you know, do community aggregation, you know, put solar on your roof, you know, waste diversion.
Possibly. Let me think about that, you know, because that's the traditional way of organizing it. And it starts to, I mean, if you could pick like one thing from each of those categories, otherwise it starts to go back to that whole overwhelming thing, right? And the thing I heard tonight that I've not really heard or thought about before is this idea of organizing it from sort of, you know, easy to longer term, like short term, quick thing you do like tonight, you know, versus long term, I'm overhauling my, you know, whatever. Or even if you're in like buy an electric car, that's like a maybe a longer term thing for some people at least. So I want to think about that. And I mean, I think you could have like a little key or something that says, well, this thing fits under this category. And it's not going to be a static menu, right? Like we would change it. And like the energy menu highlight special right now for this year might be community solar. Next year, maybe it's something else. I don't know, right? And the plant-based living highlight right now is veg out, but maybe it's something else next year. You would rotate the things that you highlight, but you would have this structure, right? And you'd have a graphic thing for it so you could swap it out, but it would look familiar.
But like somebody else said too, though, is like everybody in the village might not be capable, you know, of doing everything or focusing on something, but we can't discard whatever efforts they might be doing, however small or big, and whether it's something we're focusing on or not, you know.
Well, that's why the green stories thing is share your stories, whether they're from a commission program or not, right? Because mm-hmm. there people could be doing stuff that's not necessarily organized by us, mm-hmm. and we want to celebrate that. And maybe, but you know, somebody would be doing something, it would be like, oh, we never heard of that. Why don't we make that into something that more people can do? I don't know.
And I think we can be the ones that, or, you know, getting back to Lisa's comment, we can be the ones that organize it. So like in the easy one, we can try to have something easy you can do in each of those categories, you know, mm-hmm. really concrete. I was on a Zoom call where people were sharing like, you know, green living things. And first of all, I thought it was like, to me, it was very uplifting because there were things that I did and I just had the feeling that I was the only one who did this, and you know, like 5 or 10 people. And I was like, well, this does make a difference because we're all, you know, all of us are doing this. But like one like very, just an example, one very concrete bicycle thing. And I think this is, I don't think this is a personal thing. I think this is a bigger program, but one friend said that it's called like a 2 mile rule or something, that if you're going somewhere within 2 miles, you ride your bicycle. Has anyone ever heard of that before?
Yeah.
But, you know, so like instead of saying something more vague, like, oh, ride your bike more, just say something really concrete. Like, you know, if you're doing an errand within 2 miles of your house, bike or walk. And then that's like, that's the thing, you know, because we can't bike everywhere, or some people do, but it's hard to bike everywhere. So we can put that down where it's harder. But an easy thing to do is, you know, if you're going somewhere 2 miles away, hop on your bike. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Okay, well, so it sounds like there's some enthusiasm for this approach. So why don't I noodle it and kind of, you know, consult with each of you as needed and come back for round 3. I will close with a funny little story of my own, which is I recently had this idea that I finished a bottle of Olive & Well olive oil, if any of you know the little olive oil store on Oak Park Avenue. And before like recycling it, I have this empty bottle. I've had it for weeks because I want to call them and ask if I sterilize it or sanitize it, or don't hold you responsible for, you know, what happens if you refill this bottle for me, can you do that? And it's one of those things that like, I just don't get around to doing it. The bottle is just sitting there, but I feel like even by telling all of you this story that now like it rises in my consciousness, right? And now maybe I'll do it because it would be fun to come back and tell you at the next month's meeting whether I was able to do it or not.
I think you can fill it at Sugar Beet.
Sugar Beet does have it, but I have long asked Olive & Well if I could bring bottles in to just fill up. And they told me no.
Oh. Bummer.
But Beth, I think the more people that ask them, you know, if they get a lot of people asking, then they might say, yeah, like, oh, well.
Yeah. But anyway, to me, that's just the example of the power of story, right? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, okay, next topic, I'll take it. Okay, I'm obviously, this probably will be my last meeting, unless we are further delayed in kind of figuring out a transition plan. I mean, Kathy and I have been talking about it. We are looking at the list of folks that have submitted their application, like we all did, you know, through the River Forest website. I know separately there is an ongoing commission conversation about trying to make it easier and to encourage folks to engage in village government in this way. So we, you know, certainly as that happens, that's going to impact kind of who gets involved in all of these commissions. One thing that I will be doing is, and this is something that for some reason, I don't know why, the Sustainability Commission has never had a village trustee liaison. And I think over the years, some of the trustees have been more involved than others. For example, Bob O'Connell's on the Economic Development Commission. He ran it and then he became a trustee, and he's still kind of is their board liaison. So I'm gonna stay involved as a board liaison, which means I'd attend meetings. I would not run meetings. I would just be there as a kind of a trustee with potentially a point of view. So we are, Kathy and I are gonna meet hopefully later this week to finalize things in terms of outreach to folks to take on the role and that kind of thing, because I need to be backfilled as a member, and then we also have to backfill as a trustee. And then another change is Laura Behan has decided she's got too much going on in her life right now, so she is stepping down and taking on the role as resident volunteer. And Beth, she's going to be reaching out to you because she would love to potentially get involved in community education and outreach.
Oh, great.
One of the things that she is doing also is working to figure out how to put solar on her house. So she thinks she would be a good resident to tell her story of how she put solar on her house and kind of how she made the decision and and things like that. So she's going to talk to Eric and she's going to talk to you. So she will engage and wants to stay engaged, but as a trustee, as a resident volunteer. So we're actually filling two roles right now. And she had hoped to be here tonight because I was going to make her, her final report, but then unfortunately she had to prioritize her kids.
Can I just have, I'd love to make a comment just to have it on record.
Sure.
As far as whoever the new chair is going to be, I really feel strongly that it should be a committee, our commission, that decides that as a group. And I just want to go on record saying that. I know it's apparently not how it's done here in River Forest, but I feel pretty strongly that as a commission, as a group, we should decide who should be the chair. So I just want to go on record saying that. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And I thank you for that. Historically, that's not how it's been done, but I can certainly bring that back to Kathy and to the commission. And again, they're relooking at kind of how to improve the commission process, given a lot of feedback that I'm sure most of you are aware of during the election. So that could be something that kind of makes it into that group. And there is a separate kind of ad hoc task force that's currently looking at that.
Yeah, and I'll just say, Carrie, I agree with you. I mean, I've shared with Lisa too that I think that the more open the process is in terms of what the description is, of what the role is, and for everybody to have an opportunity to, consider whether they want to have that role or not, that would be my favorite approach.
Mm-hmm. I want to make it clear, I do not want that role. I just want a voice in who should be in that role. So that's all.
And Beth and I have talked about it in terms of it is a black box. It was a black box. It isn't as transparent as I don't think they mean to not be transparent, but it's but basically, when I took on the role, I knew about the role based on like observing Julie. So we are, I have put pen to paper to try to define what the role is today. As well as I have actually, I actually found some great information online about describing what the commission, you know, the commission is and what is the role of a voting commissioner. I actually found a document from Glen Ellyn that actually talks about student commissioners. And like, you know, and I think that one of the things that as a village we need to do a better job of is having people understand kind of what it is that they are signing up for. And this commission is a little bit different from the other commissions because of the, we're a hardworking commission.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think part of the reason I asked Lisa for that description and everything is also just because I think people do need to know what they're getting into. And I've shared with her that, you know, I think it's a very large role, you know, that I also have said, I don't really feel that I have the time for right now. So, but the question is, you know, how will we have continuing, you know, leadership of the commission given that?
And then also I think talking about, you know, potentially and, you know, having a chair and a vice chair so that there is more of a succession plan that is more laid out. And then you can have the vice chair basically is, you know, kind of in it to take on more responsibility with an eye toward ultimately being the chair. So again, that's something that, a lot of conversations that need to be pulled together and we'll go from there. Okay, so.
We're gonna miss you, Lisa, and thank you for your leadership.
Yeah.
You really have done an incredible job taking over big shoes from Julie. So thank you for everything you've done.
Second that.
And we're excited for you to be on the board of trustees.
Yeah, it'll certainly be different. It's bittersweet for me. And again, like, yeah, we do have big shoes to fill. You know, because if you think about Sugi and then Katie and then Julie, you know, they have a great capacity to work, which is not necessarily something, you know, that we can count on kind of in our future. So trying to, you know, kind of figure out ways to, again, a chair and a vice chair can help with that. And again, as I say, making the sustainability commission, ensuring that it's sustainable is kind of an important thing. And again, a great gift that we do have now are the student commissioners, because you have made a amazing difference for all of us. In terms of, you know, kind of your enthusiasm, you bring to a different point of view, which is, you know, good, because I think that, you know, we get, you know, we sometimes, and I'll be the first to admit it, get tunnel vision, and it takes a while to get us kind of, you know, out of our current thinking, but I think that you do a great job of doing that for us. So, you know, an amazing addition to the program last year when we piloted with Ellie, and I was really nervous about going to four, but it's proven to be really, you know, quite something. And with the waste diversion initiative, I guess we have to talk about kind of, you know, what would be next for, you know, for Charlotte and Luke and Catherine, for as long as you're with us as a resident volunteer, which is another great, I think, thing that we've kind of formalized this year. You know, give a think to kind of where you, you know, kind of might want to, you know, kind of focus next. And it could be to include, you know, to continue to try to, you know, kind of work on this River Forest Reduces Waste initiative and, you know, continuing to, and maybe, you know, kind of it somehow morphs into, not that I want to give you a huge group, but there's something about the River Forest Reduced Waste as an education program. And how does that kind of, you know, how do all these things kind of come together? But more on that in the future. Okay. All right. So that's it for the, again, I will keep you guys posted. Our next meeting is June 8th. believe it or not, we're in June. And does anybody have anything else to add? Otherwise, I need a motion to adjourn.
I have one thing.
Sure.
I'm gonna be gone from June 5th to July 5th, so I won't be able to come to the next meeting.
Okay, well, thanks for letting us know. Where are you going?
I'm doing this this internship for World Government from For Sustainability.
Oh, nice. When you come back, you'll have to tell us all about it.
Yeah, I will.
Awesome.
You guys helped me get there, so thank you.
Yay. Well, if you have Zoom, Ellie, you can just pop on in.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, Ellie and Roger, or Charles, you should just confer with each other in terms of what you offer to the Park District to make sure that from a timing point of view that you can move it along in time for this season. If Charles is going to take the lead on it, then that would be fine, even if you're gone, right? So, but
I'll be able to work. I just don't know if I'll be able, it's in Europe, so I don't know if I'll be able to
do which call. What country, Ellie?
Portugal.
Oh my goodness. In Lisbon?
Yeah.
Wow.
And what's the name of the organization again?
It's a CIEE program.
Congratulations.
What does CIEE stand for?
I'm not sure. It's a program through the high school that it's kids all over the world to do interesting stuff.
Sounds super cool.
Wonderful. So I'll motion to adjourn.
Second.
And I think we can all give a thumbs up. How's that?
Okay, we're adjourned. All right.